We're going home. We're Blightybound. Whoopee! Super! Absolutely so... No, Nancy, don't gush. No more gushing. Boot gushing firmly into touch. We are leaving Europe because, quite honestly, Europe is a thoroughgoing pain in the you-know-what. And I don't mean arse either. Oh, I know it's produced Beethoven and Rembrandt and Tolstoy and that Italian chappy Michelangelo. But what does all that come for when you can't buy a decent packet of corn plasters for love nor money? Beethoven never thought of that while he was writing all those ghastly symphonies, did he? Bastard. And look at their laundrettes. How you're expected to work the tumble dryers when all the instructions are in French, I'll never know. And their dogs always seem to have more legs than our dogs, don't they? Mind you. There are certain things I like about Europe. The men, for example. Take the estate agent who rented us this property. Talk about dishy. I could wade waist-deep in fields of lavender with him any day of the week. I could hold back the tides of his love and blunt the point of the toreador's sword and... Winston. Oh, Winston. Gosh, it's super to be going home. Absolutely super.
Do you know, William, I'm really looking forward to getting back to England.
Oh, not half so, I.
It's funny, isn't it? A couple of weeks ago, I just couldn't wait to get out of it.
Neither could I.
I couldn't stand it. Constantly apologising because you haven't got a fax machine.
Pretending you like Shakespeare.
Listening to Thought for Today on the wire.
Well, there's been another earthquake in Peru, hasn't there? 20,000 dead and rising every minute. And there've been typhoons in Bangladesh, drought and famine in the Sahara, and there's a ferry boat capsized in the South China Seas with the loss of all hands. Well, it doesn't mean to say that God doesn't love us, does it?
It's wonderful to be going home, isn't it?
Super, Rosie. Super! You know what I'm looking forward to most of all?
No, what?
Being sick again in the dining car of the 10:35 Paddington to Penzance.
William!
It's much better than being sick on the 7:56 Paris-Saint-Lazare to Rouen.
It didn't take us long to pack. We packed with a will. William walked into town to settle our account with the agent. That agent. He kissed my hand that day in his office, and he held me lightly by the waist. How handsome he'd look in his bathing togs on the beach at Saint-Tropez. Would I be bold enough to go topless? Well, why not? My badongas are still in good nick and... No, Nancy, no. Leave your badongas out of this. I wonder what a bikini line is. I must ask the manager of the travel agents when I get home. I was halfway through packing Father's heavy-duty rucksack and having somewhat of a contretemps with his pump gun... when Winston strolled casually into the room and said...
Hello there, Nancy. What do you reckon?
What do I reckon, Winston? I reckon everything's just fine and dandy.
Then marry me.
What?
Say you'll marry me, missus, and join with me in a partnership and an alliance of unending, ceaseless conjugal bliss sort of thing.
Oh, Winston.
I'll build you a house, Nancy. Any style you likes and desires, from early William and Mary to the later masterpieces of Frank Lloyd Wright. I'll build you an old gingerbread house with dovecots in the garden and a summer house with integral dado rails and a quiet spot for ruminative farting. I'll build you a castellated mansion with turrets overlooking an harbour with fishing boats bobbing and dredgers sucking up bucketfuls of shite.
Oh, Winston, how lovely...
I'll build you a bungalow in late Renaissance style with peacocks strutting on the lawns and frogs chirruping in the pond and sprogs building dens high in the sycamores.
I'm too old to have sprogs, Winston.
Yeah, but you're not too old to have frogs, are you? Oh, Nancy, Nancy. Make me the happiest man in the old wild world sort of thing and marry me.
Not yet, Winston. Not yet.
Why not?
Because I'm a woman, Winston.
Well, he knows all about you being a woman, missus. That's why he wants to marry you. I'd look a right bloody Charlie marrying the governor of the Bank of England, wouldn't I?
In those Wellingtons, yes. Oh, Winston, my love, I'm a woman. And a woman must always be given time.
You're right there, missus. You should be given time by the beaks for rampant prevarication.
I smiled. I chucked him under the chin and kissed him lightly on the forehead. I'd keep him on tenterhooks. I'd make him stew the lovely, lovely, gorgeous little scruffy bastard. And so we finished our packing. The white cliffs of Dover beckoned, and there in England, There'd be pilchards and hovies for tea and Tim Rice on quiz shows and eating twiglets in a warm, welcoming English bed with a proper bolster and a teased maid with numbers on the clock, all in English. And then William came bursting into the parlour and shouted,
"His father! Come quick, his father!"
We dashed after him into the yard, and there was the car, and there was father, and he was sitting in the driver's seat. And he was tightly bound to the steering wheel by the straps of the cabin trunk Mother had won at golf in Sandwich all those years ago. And, horror of horrors, he held the reamer of his smoker's compendium to his throat and he said,
One false move, and I'll plunge this blade deep into my jugular.
Father, what on earth are you playing at?
He doesn't want to go home.
I'll soon sort him out, Nancy, in my role as putative son-in-law, but I think. Right then, bacon ball, you stop his fannying about or I'll knock a living daylight out of you with your bleeding punt-gun.
Winston, please. This is no time for violence and fisticuffs. And besides, I've already packed the punt-gun. You'll have to make do with a collapsible hat-stand.
Father?
Yes, old boy?
Why don't you want to go home?
Well, my voices, old chap.
Your voices, Father?
Yes, the voices sending me signals from my signal box. The voices of long-lost chums. Old flames in mouldering ball gowns and crumbling roses at their wizened throats. Stay on, they say. Stay on, you bloody fool. Chaps I met in India, in forest clearings, with the campfire sparkling and snarling and the bearers chattering their teeth in fear of the stalking tiger. Missionaries in the humpy hills of Cochin China, soaking their Bibles in wicked tears and bootleg brandy. Captains of schooners in the South Sea, copra under their fingernails, and languid dusky beauties coiled up, sated in their cabins. Stay on, they say, stay on, you bloody idiot.
But you can't stay on, Father. We're all packed up and ready to go home. Good grief. You're the one who got homesick in the first place. It was because of you we abandoned our trip round Europe.
Well, I was homesick for the past, Nancy, always have been. Ever since I was a little sprat, and Nanny in her rimless spectacles and her stout brogues wheeled me in my pram in the park at Harrogate all those years ago. Or was it Tunbridge Wells? And was she wearing pumps? I was homesick for the past when I was in my mother's womb. Reincarnation, you see. Well, what was I in the past? The tiller of a dhow and the wild Arabian seas? A monkey's claw and a gibbering bamboo cage. The scrotum of Albert the Prince Consort. And now I know I have been reincarnated. I've been reincarnated as me, this fearfully spiffing old boy.
I'm not listening to this nonsense a moment longer. Now hand over that smoker's compendium this instant.
Stand back, don't move. I'm serious. One step farther and I'll plunge this blade deep into the cockles of my heart. If I can find them with all these bloody straps clutching me up.
Listen to me. I know what we'll do. We'll play it cool and careful. Sorrow and delicate. You keep him talking, keep him preoccupied, sort of thing. And I'll creep around the back of the car, the rear, sort of thing. And carefully and surreptitiously open the door of the driver's seat. And give him a bloody cracker in the back of the boco with William Shunter's pole, sort of thing.
Well, there's no need to do that, Winston. The answer to our problem is perfectly simple.
And what's that, Rosie?
We'll pack up the car and go on a quick tour of Europe.
What?
We'll do it in 2 weeks flat. We'll take him to all his old haunts, all the places he visited with Mother and Uncle Skoma. A quick in and out. No time for boredom, no time for adventures, no time for rows and tantrums. Just a quick in and out. You'll love it, Father. You'll adore it. Mm-hmm.
Much to my surprise, Father leapt at the plan, and William was enthusiastic too.
Terrific! I've always wanted to see the marshalling yards at Florence.
And Winston sulked.
It is balmy, Nancy. It is daft. Tear arsing all round Europe. How are we going to find time to get married and spliced, sort of thing?
Patience, Winston, patience, my love. And so we set off that morning. Well, it was afternoon, really. It took us a good 3 hours to unstrap Father from the steering wheel and fumigate him with the packet of bone meal I'd brought in case of emergencies of a gardening nature. And so we found ourselves in this lovely evening square. We sat at a pavement cafe, drinking the most delicious raspberry beer and eating fat white chocolates. The buildings were gaunt and high-shouldered, and pigeons goose-stepped among the cobbles.
Lervin, Nessie.
Leuven, site of the world-famous Catholic University, founded 1425 and manufacturer of beer, soft drinks, fertilisers and animal foodstuffs.
Gosh, Winston. Gosh! Next day, we found ourselves in a black-and-white timbered inn, eating venison and cranberry sauce. And there was swift screeching among the buttresses of the minster, and sausage dogs doing dribbly tinkles against baby's prams.
Freiburg in Brisco, Nancy, conference centre and manufacturer of yarns, threads and chemical fibres.
Gosh, Winston, gosh! And then we found ourselves in Vienna.
Vienna, Nancy. Vienna, home of the 12th century Schottenkirche, rebuilt 1638.
Oh, piss off. There's no need to be such a dreadful know-all about everything. That night we dined in an open-air cafe in the Prater.
When I came here with your mother and Uncle Skomer all those years ago, we frequently dined in the Prater.
Did you, Father?
Oh, rather. Well, I got fearfully sick one night on a surfeit of schnitzel and gurken salad.
Gosh, wish I'd been with you.
Our hotel was lovely. All the bedrooms were on galleries overlooking an open courtyard, and we sat out there drinking whipped cream coffee and tiny glasses of schnapps.
I stayed here when I left Nice after Uncle Skomer had done a bunk with all our money.
With Mother?
Oh, good God, no. I left the frightful old stinker in Nice to stew in her own juice. I came here completely on my tort.
Why?
Well, to see the Slav girl, silly Billy. That Nice chappie, those two chums of Uncle Skomer. We stayed in that bedroom, up yonder. With the string vest hanging from the window latch. It wasn't there when we occupied the room. They didn't have string vests in those days. Lucky for me, I'd never been able to unravel the damn thing when I took off my togs. And I did take off my togs, you know.
Did you, Father?
Oh, boy, with immediate gusto.
And what about the serpent, then? Did she follow likewise?
I should say so, with a will. Oh, she looked so thin, so fragile, so intensely, shimmeringly delicate. She looked as though she could have slept in a spider's web without ruffling the breeze. She looked as though she could have walked across a deep blue placid mountain lake without disturbing the surface of the water. It was her toes that left her down.
Her toes?
Yes, fearful brutes, her toes. The great glunt things, all crisscrossed and mottled with chilblains. Yes, it's a pity about her toes. Oh, damn shame.
That night, Winston tapped softly on the door of my bedroom.
Nancy. Are you there, Nancy?
I sat bolt upright in bed. Rosie was sound asleep, thank goodness. So I slipped on the toweling bathrobe I bought from the Harris catalogue, outrageously expensive for what it was, and tiptoed across the room to the door.
What do you want, Winston?
I want a word with you, Mrs.
What about?
I got an urge, Nancy.
An urge?
Yeah, come back to my room with me now and I'll demonstrate it. Make sure I can put it into practice sort of thing.
Bugger off, you randy little sod. Rome was super. It was in Italy. I didn't go bundle on Athens. Ghastly telephone boxes. But I simply adored Madrid, even though Winston had another of his urges, and the fleas did flamenco dancing all night over my tummy, and Rosie got a bottom pinch by a man in naval uniform. And then we found ourselves in this tiny hill town high in the Alps Maritime. Don't ask me how we got there. All that travelling had got me into the most dreadful muddle.
It's quite simple, Nancy. After we'd been to Venice, look, we opted over to Lyon, where William was sick owing to overindulgence on the old edible gastronomics. And after we'd had a brief sojourn in Oslo, where your father, your old dad, look, got locked in the bogs of that exhibition of the paintings of Karl Munch. Much underrated, I might add, Nancy, in view of his future. Oh, Nancy. Nancy, I've got the most terrible urge coming over me, look.
I racked him sharply over the knuckles with my Fodor's guide to somewhere or other, and he cried out with pain and stalked off, his shirt tail flapping and his boozer's belly wobbling. Marry him? I should, Coco. Oh, Winston. Winston, why can't you be like Donald Sinden and dress in a posh voice? That night we dined on the terrace of the hotel. It was lovely. It was perfection. The evening mist shimmered in the valley. The dying sun glinted on a mountain stream. The wild herbs sang to our nostrils, and the gnarled old olives held out their wrinkled hands. If I'd been Jilly Cooper, I'd have made the most dreadful mess of describing it properly.
This is wondrous. This is sheer magic.
I came here after my Siamese chum got knocked down by a motorcycle combination in Lugano.
Was it a daughter, Father?
No, William. A Motto Guzzi was like it. Now, that's why I was on my own, you see, when I dined here on this terrace all those years ago. And suddenly I felt most fearfully lonely. I felt desolate, unwanted, unloved.
Oh, poor Father.
I'd always been a pretty gregarious sort of chap, you see. Well, you had to be gregarious when you live with your mother. All those chaps coming round into afternoon tea and planning hiking holidays in the Welsh marches, playing sardines in the conservatory, possibly teeming with chaps when your mother was around. Or so were the paddy fields of Cochin China and the pagodas of Luang Prabang and souks of... Oh, I felt so terribly lonely. I felt the loneliness of old age mocking me, beckoning me to its wizened bosom, inviting me to bury my head in its cold, damp loins. I had a sudden urge to be reincarnated as a magnifying glass, and that's why I went to Nice.
And so we went to Nice.
Now then, chaps, this is the very hotel I stayed at with your Uncle Skoma and your mother when she was alive.
Is it really, Father? They don't seem to have changed the hairs in the nose of the porter, do they?
Rosie!
Well, look at the place. It's disgusting. It's absolutely squalid. Fancy dragging us to a dump like this. I'm getting sick of this game. I want to go home.
So do I.
Oh, belt up, you pathetic little weed. I must say it was a most curious establishment. It was more like a zoo than a hotel. All the waitresses looked like lizards, and most of the guests looked like aged, redundant marsupials. And as for the manageress, well, she looked for all the world like an ostrich. She had this enormously long neck, and she wore a short, flouncy miniskirt up round her thighs, and she must have been 80 if she was a day.
Did I ever tell you about the petty emu your mother and I kept when we were living in the Bismarck Archipelago? Or was it a cassowary? I don't suppose it matters, really. Your mother had it stuffed and used as an armchair for guests with particularly long legs and thin backs.
In that case, it would go down like a bomb with a head waiter. I've never seen such a narrow head in the whole of my life.
Yeah. That old head of his, you could use that for scraping rabbit tiles off a stripper's cheese string.
Winston, what an appalling thing to say.
Well, I can't help it, missus. I've got another of my urges coming on, haven't I?
Father excused himself early and repaired to bed. William said he was going out.
Going out? You? On your own? In a foreign country?
I'll just dip it down to the station to make a few sketches of their platform ticket receipts. Don't worry about me. Shall be late.
But he was late. Midnight struck, and he still wasn't back at the hotel.
Where the hell is he?
I don't know, Rosie.
Oh, he's probably been knocked down by a motorbike. He's got himself trapped in a lift. He's been captured by white slavers.
No, Rosie, no. He'll have found himself a bit of fluff, and he'll be having his nookie in a backstreet hotel with cockroaches running all over the turntable to wind up gramophone, and the bed springs creaking and rumbling like a runaway Bren Gunn carrier, and a single naked light bulb glinting on silver suspenders. God blimey, Charlie, I'm bringing on another one of my urges. I'm going to bed.
We stayed up all night. We didn't know what to do.
We should ring the police.
We can't.
Why not?
I don't know the French for William.
Yes, and we don't know the French for Prize Burke either.
Dawn came, and I had a sudden urge. A deep, burning, pulsating urge. I could have killed for it. I could have sold my soul for it. Oh, my God, what I'd have given for a cup of Maserati tea.
He's probably been press-ganged by the Foreign Legion.
Not with that cardigan he's wearing. It'd make them run a mile.
He'll have been kidnapped by the Mafia and they're holding him for ransom and they'll send us one of his ears in a manila envelope and they'll... Ooh. Where the hell's he got to?
I don't know, Rosie. Why do you keep asking me? I'm not the head of Interpol, you know. Actually, I wouldn't at all mind marrying the head of Interpol, you know. At least he'd always keep you up to date if you missed an episode of The Bill.
Nancy.
What?
Look who's here.
William!
Yeah.
Where on earth have you been? We've been worried sick about you. We'd have called the police in if we'd known the French for 999.
It's derf, I think.
What?
Oh, stop it, you two. William, I am trying to be very calm and cool and collected, but you have frightened the life out of us. What the heck have you been doing?
Having an adventure.
In those cavalry twill trousers?
What sort of adventure have you been having, William?
A jolly interesting one, as a matter of fact. I went to the station and I got violently sick. I got so sick I fainted. Next thing I woke up to find myself in a police cell.
A police cell?
Yes. They thought I was drunk, you see, and they were pummeling me with their truncheons.
How big were they?
The policemen or the truncheons?
Oh, for Pete's sake! What does it matter how big they were? What happened next?
Well, they realised I was a bit drunk.
How?
I used sign language to show I was sick.
How?
I was sick all over the sergeant's boots.
Oh, my God! What did he do?
Carted me off to hospital. It was lovely. This Siamese nurse attended to me. She used a stomach pump. It was lovely. I think I'm in love, Nancy.
With a bloody stomach pump?
No, with a nurse. She'd almond eyes and soft hands and dusky skin. Just like Father's bit of fluff who got run over by a daughter combination.
I'm not a good seat, William. I wish you'd get things right.
Yes, so do I. If I'd got things right, I reckon I could be married by now to my little Siamese nurse.
Well, what went wrong?
I trod on her stomach pump and broke it. She was absolutely livid.
I'm not surprised. They must be like gold dust stomach pumps in Siam.
She threw me out. I've been wandering the streets for ages and ages. Oh, Rosie, Nancy, I'm so sad. I'm the saddest man in the world. I've seen love and it's been snatched away from my grasp just when I was going to taste its wicked spices and its rich red amber juices. What's for breakfast?
Ham and eggs.
Oh, terrific. That's made my day. And I'll tell you another thing.
What?
I lost my chunky oatmeal cardigan at the police station.
Well, at least that's one good thing to be said for the French system of justice, isn't it? An hour later, we breakfasted en famille in the dining room. And that's French. Not dining room. En famille.
I breakfasted in this very room, at this very time, on the very day, the very month when I returned from the village in the hills.
My God, you're a glutton for punishment, ain't you?
I was sitting at this very table when your mother walked in. She sat at that table near the window where those two nips are trying to take a hip bath in their egg cups. She saw me. She came across to me. She spoke. "I see you're on your own," she said. "Yes," I said, "and so are you." "That's right," she said. She sat down opposite me with her beady little eyes and her rapacious nose, and she said, "Where have you been?" "Touring Europe," I said, "having bits of crumpet." "So have I," she said. "Were yours nice?" "Not particularly," I said. "What about yours?" So, she said, "I've had better." I dunked my croissant in my coffee. I cracked my hard-boiled egg on my forehead and I said, "Well then, I suppose we'd better get married." "Yes," she said, "keep the crumpet in the family, eh?" So we went to the mairie and made the arrangements and presently we got married.
He took us to the mairie where he and Mother got married when she was alive.
"This is it. This is where it all started. Bloody frogs. They've got a lot to answer for, if you ask me."
And I don't know what came over me as we stood there with the palm trees rustling and lizards flickering among their roots. I couldn't stop myself. I turned to Winston and I said, "Yes, Winston. Yes."
"Yes, what, Nancy?"
"I'll marry you." "I want to be your wife, Winston. I am offering myself to you to be spliced as man and wife."
"God blimey, Charlie, Nancy, my old wingsy bash, you have made me the most happiest man alive. My delight, he knows no bounds. That he don't, my ecstasy and my joy overflowing, he is positively overflowing like a vat of pig swill when that greedy old soul do tumble backwards into it arse over tit."
"Oh, Winston, you should have been a poet."
"I tell you what, missus.
What?
You ain't got a sudden urge by any chance, has you?
Not sudden, Winston. Oh, not sudden. Not by a long chalk. And so we drove back to Boulogne, non-stop. We arrived in the early evening, but we couldn't cross. Storms in the channel. So we booked into this small hotel. The wind howled and raged. The seas crashed and gnashed at the teeth of the towering waves.
All over now, Nancy. All over now. We'll soon be back home.
That's right, Rosie. Go to sleep, my love. I watched over her eagerly, imploringly, till she fell asleep. And then I got out of my bed, padded quietly across the floor, went out into the corridor, and made my way softly to Winston's room. I bumped into William.
Wonderful, Nancy. Marvellous.
What's wonderful? What's marvellous?
My last French lavatory.
I hid in the shadows till he'd completed his nocturnal ablutions, and then I went into Winston's room.
Nancy? Is that you, Nancy?
Yes.
What are you doing here?
Well, he got a sudden urge, my old Winsy Bash.
God blimey, Charlie. Snap. So have I.
And as the seas pounded and throbbed and bucked and reared and sent their spume flying into the willful wind, we satisfied our urges. And when we'd finished, I whispered into Winston's ear, "That was really super, Winston." And he said,
"You're gushing again, Nancy. You're gushing."
And I was. And I gushed one more time. Next morning, the wind had dropped and the seas were flat calm.
Pretty. I was rather looking forward to being seasick.
We were standing outside the hotel, trying to wedge Father into the back of the automatic Volvo, when who should appear but the agent who had rented us the house. Oh, how handsome he looked, how suave, how sophisticated, how overpoweringly dishy. I couldn't stop myself. I walked across to him and I plonked myself right in front of him and I kissed him full on the lips. And then I kicked him hard on the shins and kneed him flush in the groin. Okay, everyone! Blighty, here we come! And that's the end of the story! Fini! What a lovely word to use when you get back to England! Come on, everyone! Shout it out! Shout it in the tops of your voices! Fini! 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 Fini!